Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, we want to come before you now and submit ourselves before your throne. And we are asking, Lord, that you would give discernment, that you would give understanding, that you would give wisdom, Lord, that you would give of your mighty and Holy Spirit, Lord, that we might hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in this day and in this hour, that we might be worthy, Lord, to receive the fullness of what you have in your kingdom for us, Lord. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 I just want to write a couple words on here. I want to say several words to you, just to introduce you. We are preaching the kingdom of God. And today I will be talking about what is the kingdom of God. But let me use some other terms, just in case you're not familiar. Bert already used the term sons of God. Okay, we're using the term sons of God. And he read you the verse from Romans chapter 8. For they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Okay, and sometime I read a good definition of that, being led by the Spirit of God, is to be under the government of the Spirit of God. So if you are under the governance of the Holy Spirit of God, is one of your qualifications for being among the sons of God. And remember, Brother Bert said very clearly, the word sons, where it's properly translated as sons and not children, means mature ones. Amen? We're talking about the tabernacle and coming all the way. What did Paul say? Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So, it is not God's plan to keep us out here in the outer court. Amen? It is God's plan to bring us into sonship. This is a good place for children. We have to start somewhere. Amen?
Amen.
But God does not want us to be 50 years old and still children. He wants us to mature and go on in Him. And here I am mixing everything up already. But I just need to say it since I brought it up. The golden altar is a place of sacrifice. The cross of Jesus Christ was the ultimate sacrifice of God. It was where the blood was shed. The shedding of the blood here was a picture of the coming of the death of Jesus Christ. What did I call it? I'm sorry. Thank you, George. Yeah, I'm way ahead of myself. The brazen altar, brass. Brass speaks of judgment. Okay? So it's a picture of the blood, the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The brazen laver, it was full of water. It speaks of baptism. It speaks of baptisms. Amen?
Amen.
According to Hebrews chapter 6. Let us go on, not laying again the foundation, and mentions baptisms. Baptism in water, baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptism into Christ in His fullness. So anyway, let us go on to maturity. Let's see, I said we're preaching the kingdom of God, we're preaching sons of God. We are preaching an end time doctrine, end time word, let us say. End time message. And I guess we might as well say we're preaching death to self. Death to self. There are several places in this tabernacle that you will find death. You'll find death to the flesh out here in the outer court. You will find death, sacrifice of the soul here at the golden altar. And I don't have time to get into that. But let me just say that if you're a church, that all you preach to the people is the crucifixion and the baptism and salvation and get saved and get baptized and get saved and get baptized and get saved and get baptized. If that's all you're preaching, you're going to be nothing more than an outer court church. Amen? God wants us at this hour to be a holy place church. Now, as of now, I do not know of any people that are living and dwelling continually in the Holy of Holies. But God is speaking to us to be prepared to cross that veil and come and live in the Holy of Holies, which is really the place that Jesus Christ walked when He was on earth. How many of you believe He walked in the Holy of Holies? Amen? He had continual access to the throne of God. He was in communion with the Father. And He saw, He heard, He had the protection of the Father God upon Him. No man could touch Him until His time. And you know, God has a people that are going to walk in the same place that Christ walked in the very end of time.
Amen.
And I'm going to say it's the sons of God. You can give whatever term you want to it. There's many terms you can give it to it. You can call it the 144,000 company. You can call it the two witnesses company. You can call it the man-child company. These are terms that are interchangeable. They mean the same thing. Don't try to go look for this company and that company. Well, I'd rather be in the 144,000 than the man-child. No, come on. It all speaks of the same thing, if only we had time to tell you what it all means. But let's go back to the basics. These are the messages, the kind of the theme of messages. We could say tabernacles, we could say kingdom of God, sons of God, end time message, death to self. And why do I say end time message? Because I believe that we're an end time people. How many of you believe we're living in the last time? The last days?
Amen.
Amen? Now, I've been believing we've been living in the last days for the last 30 years. And we're still living in the last days. I fully believed with all my heart that the coming of the Lord could be any minute 30 years ago. Was I wrong?
No.
Because that is the spirit of expectation that God expects every generation to have. When they wrote the New Testament, the writers wrote as if they expected that He would come before they ever finished writing the Word. That was their expectation. If you don't have that expectation, you're going to get lazy in your Christian life. You're going to start going astray. You're going to wander away from the Lord. But we need an end time stirring. We need to see the signs that are happening, understand what God is doing in this day and in this hour. Now, I said I'd be talking about the kingdom of God. John the Baptist came as a forerunner before the coming of Jesus. Amen?
Yes.
And how many of you believe that God is going to send an Elijah company and have them preaching preparation for His coming message again in the last days?
Amen.
Did He not say, "Behold, I will send Elijah"? Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus acknowledged that there was a historical Elijah. In fact, He met with him up on the mount. But He also said that John the Baptist was Elijah. Remember that?
Yes.
He said, "This is Elijah." Now, what was Jesus doing when He called John the Baptist Elijah? But his name was John. Why did He call him Elijah? You see what He did? He was spiritualizing him. Somebody said to me, "Brother Mark, why do you always have to spiritualize everything? Why can't you leave things on the natural level?" Because God wants us to come up to a higher level.
Okay.
Like I said, if you just want to live out here and understand out here, you can live on the natural level. But if you want to begin to understand spiritual things, this is why when Brother Bert was talking to you in the earlier message, he was saying there's a spiritual Israel. Amen? That we are the seed of Abraham. So when we understand New Testament terms, when he used the term temple, we are talking about the New Testament definition of temple. When you get past the book of Acts, where they were talking, still had that natural old temple still in existence. Once you get past that point where Paul begins to teach the doctrine, amen, that he understood, there was hardly any other mention of that old temple. Know ye not that you are the temple of God. This is spiritual understanding, brethren. This is bringing us up higher. Now, if you're prepared to go up higher, then you're going to enjoy this conference. Now, I know it's difficult to come up higher. See, I was pretty thick in my day. I could not understand a lot of things. When I first heard the message, I'll call it the kingdom message, when I first heard kingdom things preached, I believe it was Brother Campbell came into our area. I got to know him. He began to preach. And I understood what I was hearing while I was hearing it. But being that I was a preacher, I was a teacher of the Word, I could understand it for about a week. And when the brother left the area, my kingdom wisdom didn't last very long. And the next thing I knew, I'd be reading the Word of God, and I'd be way back down there on that natural old understanding, and I couldn't break through. So the brother would come back again 6 months later, and it would quicken me, it would stir me, and I could say, yes, I see the kingdom things. I understand the principles. I understand that there's more levels of understanding of the Word of God than just way down here on that lower level. You know, Jesus told parables, and there was not everybody understood everything he was talking about. He wasn't just giving lessons of agriculture when he went out there and talked about the sower sowing the seed. And the disciples, they maybe didn't understand everything, but they knew enough to say, you weren't just talking about putting seeds in the soil, were you? You had something else you were talking. We want to know what that other thing was that you were talking about. And he said, okay, so to you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. Do you want to be among those people?
Amen.
Then pray that God will open your heart. You see, I had to press in and press in and press in. I told you, I was pretty thick. And finally, I remember one day, I said, yes, 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 I can see it. I see it now. My eyes were opened. And being able to see it, then I'm able to teach it, I'm able to preach it.
Yeah.
Amen? If you don't see it, you're not going to preach it.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
So, John the Baptist said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Now I know the one gospel says kingdom of heaven, the other says kingdom of God. Don't try to split them up. It's the same thing. Same thing. Amen? By the way, let's test your spiritual understanding right now. What is heaven? What does heaven mean? All right, let me go this way. Where is heaven? Oh, don't look at me funny. Where is heaven? I'll ask a little child, where is Jesus? A little child will say, Jesus is in my heart. Is that right?
Yes.
Well, can I ask you, is Jesus in heaven? Of course you'll answer, yes. Jesus is in heaven. Jesus is in my heart. So then the next thing is there heaven in my heart?
Yes, yes.
Oh yes, there should be. If Jesus is in heaven and Jesus is in my heart, then Jesus is in heaven. So therefore, what does heaven mean? If you point up, I hope you're just pointing up figuratively, because it means it's a higher spiritual place. Amen? You go get the telescopes, you go get the Hubble telescope and all those other big telescopes, and you can go and look, you can find all these galaxies that are zillions of light years away, but they're not finding heaven. Heaven, God's heaven of heavens isn't there. If you were listening to what Brother Bert was preaching, God is a spirit. Only a spirit can be ever present in all places. So the kingdom of God is a spiritual kingdom. Now, let me take you again through my coming of understanding, because I wanted to know very badly. I was 21 years old. I had gone to college in a Christian college. I wasn't going to prepare to be a pastor or anything like that. I was training to be a nurse. But it was a Christian. We had to understand Christian things, the Word of God, you know. And I graduated. I didn't know what is the kingdom of God. But I had in my mind, well, it must be all those churches out there, you know. So I remember I found a book one time in a bookstore. It said, The Kingdom of God in America. And I thought, oh, yes, at last I'm going to find out what the kingdom of God is. Well, you know what the book was about? Baptists, Pentecostals, Presbyterians, Episcopals. I threw the book away. I said, that's not the kingdom of God. Isn't anybody going to tell me what the kingdom of God is? So then I began to read. And I read that John the Baptist said the kingdom is at hand. And then I began to say, well, what does at hand mean? See, teachers, we have to understand what words mean, right? What does at hand mean? That means it's right here. It's ready to break out any moment. Could I say the coming of Jesus Christ is at hand? Oh yes, I can, because I believe it. So, the kingdom is at hand, and then what did he say that we had to do about it? Repent. So, it's a spiritual kingdom, and the way to get into a spiritual kingdom, first of all, is to repent. By the way, do you know that Jesus then began, after he was filled with the Spirit, it says that he began to preach and say, the kingdom of God is at hand. It hadn't been seen in its fullness, but it was come. I was just reading a verse, where was it? It was in Luke. Oh yeah, here it is. Wouldn't you know, I got the Bible right open to it. Luke chapter 11, and he's casting out devils. And he said here, they had accused him of casting out devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. And he said to them, listen to this verse. If I by Beelzebub cast out devils, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore shall they be your judges. In other words, how are you guys casting out devils? Sorry, we're not doing it. We don't have any power to do it. They didn't answer, but that would have been their answer. They weren't casting out devils. All right? And then he said, but if I, by the finger of God, cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God is come upon you. So he's announcing to them, the kingdom is here. Now, how could he say that? Well, the simple answer is because he's the king. If the king is here, his kingdom is here. Amen? So, what is our understanding then, in our natural understanding of the kingdom of God? Let's go to natural kingdoms first of all. What kind of natural political kingdom are you part of? Liberia? Yeah, that's a natural kingdom, isn't it? But is that the kingdom of God? No. Are you part of any other kingdoms? Probably. You know, there's a kingdom of education, educational system. They've got their little kingdom. There's a kingdom of banking and finance. Sometimes we get involved in that a little bit, don't we? We use money. Anybody here use money? Yeah, we partake a little bit of that kingdom. And then there are kingdoms of denominations. And some people really believe that they're really hitting the kingdom of God now. and they're going to give their life and their heart and their soul for their denomination. What do you think? Let's go through the Word and see what the Word of God has to say. Is that the kingdom of God? I remember when we first started to preach the Word of God in the city where I met, it was about 30 years ago, we met in a little hotel. We had a little room in the hotel where we met. Oh my, God did some very marvelous things there. We were not big. We were a small group. And we began to pray that God would send more people in. And I had kind of inherited this job from another man that left in a hurry. And so the group began to get smaller and smaller and smaller. By the way, preaching the kingdom of God does not necessarily make you a big, big group. You know what people like to hear? The kind of message they like to hear? They like to hear the message of prosperity. And that will draw lots of people. They want to get rich. They want to drive Mercedes cars and that type of thing. But that's not the kingdom of God. No. You know what? There's a lot of television preachers preaching things that are not the kingdom of God. It is not. Now, if you want to get mad at me and walk out, that's okay. But I'm still going to preach the kingdom of God. Did I hear you say amen? Okay, good. I'd like to hear that. Amen. I know you're not holding a tomato or something to throw at me. All right, so John the Baptist preached that the kingdom of God was at hand. Then he said, let me go back to Matthew chapter 4, where John was preaching that. Matthew 4. Because I like the way he said, he talked about the coming of Jesus. He said to them that they were to bring fruit of repentance. Okay, now here we come in verse 11. And he said, I baptize you with water unto repentance. Baptism of water unto repentance. There's no other baptism of water except unto repentance. You see, if you try to baptize your children, your babies, little babies, when they're born, they cannot repent. So you have to come to a place of repentance. Now, he said, I'm baptizing you in water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I. His shoes I am not worthy to bear. He will baptize you with what? Holy Spirit and with fire. Now, you know the word baptized means what? It means to be completely immersed in something, right? So if I baptize you in water, I put you completely into the water. See, the first time I got baptized was in a church, and they poured water on me. And I was doing all right up until a certain point in my Christian life. And finally, I understood the meaning of the word is not pouring water on me. The meaning of that word is to put me in the water. And so I said to a brother, I said, I need to be baptized. I'm in my 30s. I'm almost 40 years old. I said, I need to be baptized properly. So they baptized me properly in water. Now, that's not so bad, is it? How many of you like being baptized in the Holy Ghost? Is that okay? Now, again, that does not mean you just get a little touch of the Holy Ghost, does it? It means you get completely immersed in the Holy Spirit of God. That's okay, isn't it? How about fire? How many of you enjoy being baptized in fire? Now, you know we're not talking about literal fire, or you'd be dead. But how about persecution and tribulation and hard times and suffering? Isn't that fire? Amen? And do you believe that God is using the fire to bring about something good? Do you remember it said in Isaiah, he said that I created the smith that blows the coals In other words, even if it's the devil that's causing your troubles, God is saying, I'm using him. I'm using him to get something good out of you, and I'm going to make out of you an instrument, amen, that is tempered, that isn't going to break, it isn't going to bend, but I'm going to use you to thrash your mountains, the things that are standing in front of you and holding you back in your walk with God. You are going to beat them to pieces. That's exactly what it means in Isaiah. Because God is going to make you the thrashing instrument. All right, so we're talking about the kingdom of God. Now, let's see. Let's go to the 13th chapter of Matthew. And I started to say to you that we were a small group, and we met in a room in a hotel, because that's all that was available. We did not have a building like this. But the people that were with us did not understand the kingdom of God. And I remember an older woman that came into our group at that time, and 30 years ago, I thought she was an older woman. She just died a couple of months ago, and we went to her funeral. But she was Sister Betty. She was about 90 years old. And I remember she said to me, Brother Mark, we need to have our own building. I said, why is that, Sister Betty? She says, well, then people will be able to see who we are. I said, well, I suppose. You mean we'd put a sign up and like that and have the name of us and then... Yeah, yeah. She says, and then people will start to come when they can see who you are. So I went to the Lord about it and I said, Lord, Sister says we need a building. What do you say, Lord? And the Spirit of the Lord said to me, okay, someday you can have a building. But not until the people in your fellowship know that the body of Christ is not a building.
Amen.
That the house of God is not a building. Do you hear me?
Yes.
The house of God is people.
Hallelujah.
This is the house of God. This whole thing is the house of God. Children, older people, mature people, the whole house of God. I started to tell you, and I leave so many things unfinished, now I have to come and finish. I said that there is nobody now, there is no group, there is no church, there is no individual that I know of at this time who is living and walking in this place. Now, we have visited there, we've had visions there, we have seen it, and I have stepped into it. I have tasted of it. Amen?
Amen?
Some of you maybe have tasted of it. I'll tell you how it happened. I won't give you the whole story, but I came to where might as well just say they thought I died, but here I am alive, so I didn't die. I had a heart attack, and they had to do a lot of working on me and get me fixed up again. And that was about 11 years ago. And I went to a place where I met Jesus. He stood right before me, face to face. I saw him. He told me things. I saw things in the Spirit that I could never see. I saw the prayers. I saw prayers. Prayers are spiritual things. I saw them in the Spirit. I heard them. I saw them. They were going just past me like this. And as they came past me, they were going to the throne of God. And as they came past me, I could hear. And I heard people praying for me. People that lived 1,000 miles away. I could hear them praying. I remember hearing one woman. And I was only allowed to know one woman and her voice. And I could hear her say, Lord, we lift Brother Mark now. I ask you to just take care of him and be with him and heal him, oh Lord. And I could hear her husband in the background say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, how is it? How is it that I can some of these prayers are so loud that I can hear them and I can remember them. What makes the difference in some of these prayers? Some are so quiet you can hardly tell they're praying, and some are just so loud to come before the throne. And the Lord said, these are those who have suffered much. Those were prayers that were coming loud before the throne of God. And I just happen to know that couple have suffered so much that had the prayers. I'm just telling you this. I'm telling you that there is an experience behind this veil. Amen?
Amen.
And there is a people who is going to live during the time of great tribulation that are going to live and walk as Jesus walked in this place. Let me just say one statement about the veil and I'll move on. There's so much to be said. Do you know what the veil is? You know what it was in the old temple. It was a curtain, wasn't it? And what did it do? It separated men, priests, in this part from the glory of God in this part. And only once a year could one priest go in. He went in with blood, atonement blood. On the Day of Atonement, he went in there. And he sprinkled on the mercy seat. Amen? It was sort of like it was an IOU. He took the blood of bulls, you know, and animals. But now we have a perfect sacrifice. And let me tell you, while we're at it, about the temple of Israel. What was going on became an abomination of desolation. Do you know why? Because they continued to offer animal sacrifice after the Lamb of God was sacrificed. The perfect Lamb of God did the job. No more animal sacrifice. And they continued to do it. And it became, in the nose of God, a stench. And God said, enough. I'm going to let the Romans come in and destroy it. So, when Jesus talks about the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, he is not talking about that temple anymore. He is talking about this temple. This holy place, this church, is being polluted by an abomination. The spirit of the world, the spirit of the devil, has been coming in to the holy place people, polluting the house of God. No, the Jews don't have to build a temple to have the devil come and make an abomination in the holy place. They don't have to. Even if they do, that isn't what's going to happen. I'm with Bert. I don't think God is going to allow it. He destroyed it. I don't think He's going to allow it to be rebuilt. Amen?
Amen.
So we're talking about the kingdom of God. Amen. And when I talk about coming into this place, this should be our goal of coming to a relationship with God, where we walk with God, where we talk with God, where we commune with God, where the bride has made herself ready, and who is going to be the bridegroom? Jesus Christ, of course. And do you want to be part of the bride?
Yes.
Guys, do you want to be part of the bride? Men, sisters, do you want to be sons of God?
Yes.
You see, in the kingdom of God, there is neither male nor female. In the fullness of Christ. Now, here where we live, yes, there's male and female. I have a wife too. I eat, I drink, I sleep, you know, I do people things. Amen. But there are kingdom things that are neither male nor female. There are kingdom in the kingdom of God, you know, in the heaven. Are you going to be able to find your tribe?
No.
Are you going to find Liberians?
No.
There will be no Americans in heaven. There will be no white people in heaven. nor black people. They'll just be people, saints of God. Are you understanding? The kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Let us begin to come into kingdom thinking now.
Yes.
Let us lay aside that old... The verse that Bert read in the 8th chapter of Romans. The flesh.
Yes.
The flesh profiteth nothing. Flesh oriented. They that are after the flesh are going to result in what? Death. After the flesh. See, I am in flesh because my feet are here, flesh. But I do not go after the flesh. I am after the spirit, even though I have flesh here. Now, this veil represents flesh. No, not that flesh. You see, flesh has spiritual understanding. Flesh means carnal thinking, carnal understanding. And it is my carnal understanding, my carnal mind, my carnal eyes, my eyes that want to see the kingdom of God in the natural realm, that I want to see a building. Amen.
Amen.
I want to see a sign out front. I want to see an organization. I want to see the man in charge. I want to see the network and everything. No, not the kingdom of God. That's carnal thinking. I have to get over my carnal thinking. Amen? It's that carnal thinking that's keeping me on this side. I'm on this side too. I must have some carnal things in me too because I haven't crossed over. You know, I think we're all going to cross over together when there's a company ready to go. That's why I'm recruiting you. I want you to be with us. I want to be there. And yet, like Paul said, I keep under my body because I could be cast away too. I could drift away. I'm not sealed yet, but you know the sealing process is going on even as we speak. If you're hearing the Word of God, it's beginning to seal your mind. If you're receiving it, if you're saying amen, if you're saying yes, if you're saying yes, that's what I want, if you're saying yes, that's the message I've been wanting to hear, then it's beginning to seal you. If you're putting your hand up and saying, whoa, 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 this is getting a little too heavy, I don't know. I want you to be part of it. What God is doing in these days. Come on, brethren, I can prove everything that I'm saying to you. I can give you scripture. I can give you scripture for hours that will prove. I have looked into all these things. I am not going to teach something that I cannot justify and back up. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so we get over here. Where were we going? Into the 13th chapter of Matthew? Yeah, 13th chapter of Matthew. And we got to turn the page here. In verse 44. Now, the 13th chapter of Matthew is parables. And Jesus is saying, if you can understand some of these parables, you can understand the kingdom of God. If you can't understand them, you're missing out on something. Okay? So, and by the way, on this veil... The veil is our problem. The veil is not God's problem anymore. What did God do with that veil at the crucifixion? He rent it. That is not God's barrier anymore. That's our barrier. Paul said when Moses is read, there is what? A veil upon the eyes. That means when Moses is read. That means when the old order thinking, the old order understanding, the old order interpretation of temple, the old order interpretation of the old things, and not seeing what God has, the spiritual side of these things, he said there's a veil on the eyes. The veil is still there, untaken away. God's veil, God's hindrance, hindering us from coming in, it's gone. We can come. But we're not coming, are we? Because we still have our own hindrance to overcome. All right, so in the parable, he's talking about the parable of the sower, but I'm just going to pick out this one verse, little parable. Amen? Verse 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field. That's a very short little parable, isn't it? Again, when I'm a young man, didn't understand these things. In fact, I wasn't even baptized in the Holy Spirit. I'm reading that and reading that, saying, man, I just don't understand what this is all about. I remember reading, yes, and this is before I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. I remember reading and saying that we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I just couldn't get it. I said, heaven? But I'm here on earth. God, my feet are here. How can I be seated in heavenly places? I couldn't get it. I couldn't understand that I can also be in heavenly places, in spiritual places in Christ Jesus, while I walk here. Amen. While you live your life here. While you do the mundane things that you do. While you gather water. While you cook. While you do whatever you have to do to make your life go. You can be in heavenly places. You can be praising God. High above all these things. You know, the miracles have happened to people that were praising God while they were doing ordinary things. God is going to begin to break out miracles among us as we come into these last days. He's already beginning to show some that we have known. God is removing time constraints. He's removing constraints of space and place. Just like He did with Philip when he was caught away. Amen. There's going to be a supernatural, but we're not going to be putting it on television, brethren. You're not going to start a TV program just because you've got some power and some miracles happen to you. You're not going to be writing a book about it. There are just going to be a lot of people that are going to be walking in that new place in God.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And this is just going to be preachers. Going to be a lot of unknown little people that are living mighty, powerful lives. So, here's a parable that says the kingdom is like a treasure hid in the field. Man's going out in the field here one day, and his foot, oh, what is that? He gets a shovel, he starts to dig at it. Oh, he realizes what it is. It's a powerful treasure. Well, it's got to be worth millions. See, I'm in the natural now. We got to shift to the spiritual now. He hears the message of the kingdom of God, and all of a sudden he understands what it is. And he says, I've got to have this. I have got to have it. I've got to have all of it. I've got to live that life. I'm going to walk that walk. I want to be in the high places of God. I want to live like Jesus Christ. I want to have the power that He had. I want to be in the place where He sent the disciples out and they came back rejoicing. I want to be in that place. And then you come to realize you've got to buy the whole field to get it. And so what are you going to give for the field? Now, see, I'm not telling you have to pay for your salvation. There's nothing you can pay for that blood. You could not do that. There's nothing at all. But what I'm saying is if you want all of Christ, you're going to have to give all of you. Well, what's that mean? That sounded real nice, didn't it? What's all of me mean? All of my ideas, all of my plans, all of my purposes, all of my aspirations, everything that I wanted to be in my career, all the things I wanted to own, oh, all my gifts, my talents. All right, God, they're yours. I have no use for them anymore. And then you shall possess what? You shall possess the kingdom of God. But you see, you had to buy the whole field. You couldn't just say, well, I just like those gifts. I'll just take the treasure and we can let the field go. No, no, no. It's going to cost you everything. What did he tell that rich young fellow that came? What did Jesus tell that fellow? What did he say? Sell what?
All.
Wouldn't it be just practical to say, well, you know, you can really be useful for God. Why don't you just give 50% of it? And then you can, you know, you can keep making a pretty good income, and then you can come and follow me, and you can help support my other disciples. And he said, no. You've got a problem in your heart. In your heart, you've got a barrier between you and me. And my interest in you is to remove that barrier so that you can come and you can follow me. All those possessions had become a problem to that man. Do you ever envy rich people? I mean, really filthy rich people. Do you know, if you knew the life of some of these very rich people, that they spend almost every waking hour of the day guarding their riches? No, I don't mean hiring security guards. I mean watching the stock market. Oh, this one's going down. Sell, sell. This one's, oh, this one. You know, I saw an interview with a guy one time. He wakes up at 2 o'clock in the morning to see what's going on in the eastern Japan and China, to see what's going on in their stock market. He wakes up at another hour of the morning to see what's going on in London. I mean, he's waking up, going to sleep, waking up 24 hours a day. He's watching, guarding all his riches. He has no life. He has no other life. I had a career one time. I was a hospital administrator. It was a big hospital, 400 beds. I wasn't the chief, but I did become a chief of smaller ones. But my aspiration, I was going to be the chief of a big one, the top man. And one day I discovered that I could give my life to that thing. They wanted me. They wanted to tell you what club to join. They wanted to tell you you have to learn how to play golf. They wanted to tell you this and that. They wanted my soul. And I came to the realization I can serve one kingdom or the other. Which one will it be? Brethren, you are going to have to make decisions in your life about the kingdom of God. There are things, and I don't know what they are in your life. I have no idea, really, what your life is like. But there are decisions that you too will make. And you will choose. I'm not saying that you're going to choose to be saved. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about something completely different. I'm going to assume that every one of you is saved. Okay, I didn't see your hands when Bert asked. But I'll believe that you all raised your hands. He said if anybody didn't, he was going to pray for them. And I didn't see him praying for anybody. So we're not talking about choosing salvation. You see, we're preaching something a little bit beyond that point. You are going to make other choices that are going to determine where you are at the end of the day. The parable of the virgins. Virgins, virgins, virgins. All virgins, all people of God. Virgin means pure. They were not a harlot church. You see, there's a harlot church too. An unfaithful, untrue church. But these were all good people. But there were decisions that some of them made that affected whether they were going to be able to enter in to that special place in Christ at the end of the day. All right, let's go on to another verse. Let's go to Luke 17. Oh, are we supposed to quit at 5? Somewhere around there? I guess we'll have to pick this up later then. But let me take Luke 17. Luke 17. And we're going to look at verse 20. And when he was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Well, there's more to this, but let me just stop right here. What kind of kingdom do you believe the Pharisees were looking for? A political kingdom? Yeah, earthly kingdom. Did they like the fact that the Romans were in town and Pilate was there and ruling? And no, they didn't like that at all. They wanted their own kingdom of Israel. What do you suppose the disciples were motivated, some of them, in following him?
Just go back.
I think some of the disciples were thinking the same thing. I can prove it to you by the way they acted. That they also wanted that king. You know, that was the last question they asked him after his resurrection. In the first chapter of Acts, they said, "When will you restore Israel again?" So you see, they still had it on their mind before the coming of the Holy Spirit in its fullness. The disciples did not understand the kingdom of God. 3.5 years with Jesus, and most of them didn't understand it up until the crucifixion, resurrection even. So here we are, in 1 hour, we expect you to understand the kingdom of God. But you have the Holy Spirit now to quicken you, to quicken your understanding of what we're saying. So the Pharisees came up to him, kind of begrudgingly, "Well, when are we going to see this kingdom? When are you going to do something? When are you going to start showing some power and get rid of these Romans around here? We can put our guy on the throne." They wanted to see something, didn't they? They wanted to see some action. So what did Jesus say? "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." In other words, the kingdom of God is not that building with a sign in the front. In fact, it's not even the organization that sponsored that building. It's not even the organization that built that building, probably. It's not a thing that you can identify in such a way. It's an invisible thing. Can you see the invisible? If you have eyes, if you have spiritual eyes, you'll see it. Okay? Now let me go on. "Neither shall they say, 'Lo here,' or 'Lo there.'" Do people still say "lo here" and "lo there"? Well, they do in America. Oh, it's the channel of the television. It's the God channel. Do you know they have a thing called the God channel?
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
They have a Christian channel called the God channel. And they have these famous speakers that come on and tell people how to get rich and really tell them how they got rich is mainly what they're talking about. But anyway, it has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. And people say, "Lo here." And I don't know what it was, 20 years ago they were saying, "Lo in Toronto, Canada." It's the Toronto blessing. Did you ever hear the Toronto blessing? Maybe you're too young. And then, "Oh, it's a place in Texas." And then there was it's that man in Germany. There's a famous man in Germany. Wow, he's preaching with power. And then a woman came up to me a while ago and she says, "Oh, there's a man in Nigeria. Powerful man of God." And I inquired about the Nigerian brethren and they said he's a sorcerer. Yeah, he's a powerful sorcerer. But he's got people believing he's preaching of God. And so people were saying, "Lo here and lo there. Let's all go over here and really get blessed. And oh, over here there's a guy, he lays hands on people and they all fall down. Lo here." No, it's not it. Listen, church, We need to hear what Jesus said about these things. It's not a low here and a low there thing. That's not the way. People sincerely somehow believe that that is going to be the sign of the return of Jesus Christ, to see men doing those kind of things, knocking people down when they pray for them. And by the way, knocking people down is not one of the gifts that shall come on those that believe. Show me where it is. It says we can raise the dead, heal the sick. Nothing about knocking people down. People want to get knocked down. That's what happens. All right, can we move on? All right, it's not low here or low there. For behold, the kingdom of God is where? Within you. It's not low here. It's not low there. It's not that television. It's not that famous man. It's in here. This is where the kingdom of God is. When I say it's time for us soldiers of Christ to rise up and take the kingdom, I don't mean that we're all going to go to the voting booth and vote for our favorite Christian politician. That is not going to take the kingdom of God. I have to take the kingdom of God here first before I can take anything out there. I have to subdue these Canaanites that have gotten into this land, into this earth. These Perizzites. These Jebusites. These rebellionites. These stubbornites. These gossipites. Can I go on and name them? These lustites. Amen? I have to subdue them, and I will take the kingdom here in this earth. See, earth, earth, earth. This is a form of earth right here. That's what Adam was made out of, earth. Amen. Oh, by the way, this kind of earth, this will not inherit the kingdom of God. You knew that. Flesh and blood, not going to inherit the kingdom of God. This kind of stuff is going to mold and become dust in the earth if the Lord delays. I hope He doesn't. I want the chance to lay my life down for Him. See, that's my hope. Amen. Okay, let me go on. I'll finish this. And He said to His disciples, "The days will come when you shall desire to see one of the days of the Son of Man, and you shall not see it." Oh, if only Jesus were still here. Oh, if only I could have walked with Him for 3.5 years. Then I would believe. Then I could, you know, then my eyes would see. Then I would have such great faith. He said, you're going to want that. And because you're going to want that, you're going to go after men that you believe have the power of Christ. He said, don't go after men. Don't put men in that position. Don't ever put a man up and hold him in equal place with Christ. And they shall say unto you, see here or see there, go not after them nor follow them. How come the church never read these verses? I knew a whole church that got on a bus in New York because they heard there was a guy down in Florida, which is 1,000 miles away, and everybody was all rave over this guy. All he was doing was laying hands on people and knocking them down. They showed me a television. I don't have a television. I don't want one. It's a waste of time. I could have one. I could get a satellite or whatever. I do not want one. If they offer me a cable, I will not hook it up. I don't want it. So you're going to have to make decisions. You know, my wife and I made that decision a long, long time ago. And you know what? People kept giving us televisions. Oh, the Olympics is on. We can watch the athletes. Television burned up. People were good. They brought me another television. Oh, some other nice thing is on. It burned up. Finally we said, listen, we are not having a television. There's nothing but corruption There's nothing but pollution of the world on that thing. I don't care if they bring in a satellite here. Turn it down. I don't want it. You don't want it. Amen? It has nothing to do with the kingdom of God. It will draw you away from your walk in Christ. You need your time in Christ. You need it, brethren. Oh my. Well, I need to quit. I have got... Oh my. I've been over an hour. And I haven't come near to where I wanted. I wanted to talk about... Show you how the disciples did not understand the kingdom of God. Maybe we get another time. Okay? I'll just give you a little nutshell. You can look it up. You can read it. Matthew chapter 20. You read where the disciples came to Jesus and they wanted positions. They wanted positions in the church. Positions! Right side and left side. Chief associate and second chief associate. And Jesus said, this is the kind of thing that goes on in the world. Gentiles have these levels of authority. And on the bottom, they have the people. But it shall not be so among you. It shall not be so in my church. And guess what happened to my church? It wasn't 200 years and they were appointing bishops already. I did a study on it. It was people, men, good men who knew John, who sat under the teaching of John, the last disciple to die, and they were bishops. It didn't take long, did it? See, I've raised a lot of questions in your mind. And we're going to have lots of time. If you want to ask them, I'll answer them. Every one of them. It is not God's principles of having men rule over other men in that manner. I'll just say in a nutshell, God doesn't have a problem with leadership, but He calls it plurality of elders. Check and balance. Yes, and we have responsibilities for God's sheep. Till we all come. You see, we're trying to work ourselves out of a job. Till we all come to the fullness of the measure of the stature of Christ. And, you know, if Jesus said, until we all come, if that was His prayer, how many of you think He's going to get His prayer answered? How many of you believe that Jesus is going to get that kind of a church in the end? A church in the fullness of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
How many of you want to be in that church?
Amen.
In the fullness of Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Well, God bless you. I think your time is up and I need to quit. That's just a little taste. We'll go there later. God bless you.